could there be to synthesizers? We did everything.
Nope.
We didn't do lots of things. One of the things that we didn't do is noise. The most boring part of any dithering guy's job. Are there dithering guys? Who knows? No one likes noise, but we like noise when you do synthesizers because they make everything just a little bit special. So, we are going to talk noise, how to use them in synths, and hopefully help you make use of another tool in the Tune Shed.
All right, welcome to the Tune Shed, the workshop for everything music from history, theory, creative process, production, you name it. We're here to become better music listeners, better creators, and better music lovers. I'm your host, Mike Blurry, and I'm here with my dear childhood friend and pro musician, Marty Gray. What's up, Marty?
I'm a pro.
You a pro. And so I always thought that noise was bad because people usually say like, oh, that microphone has some noise, or there's some noise in that you want to get rid of. There's noise reduction. I thought it was just bad sounds, sounds that you don't want.
Oh, yeah. They're all bad. Well, no, unwanted noise is bad. You don't want noise just like pooping up your signal. Yeah, noisy mics are not good. Noisy tubes are not good. Noisy guitar, not good. But noise has a bunch of other applications, and all of them are boring.
Boring?
Oh,
why do
man.
We do, what's the point then?
There's this thing called dithering, and it is... The science way of explaining it is it's using a very low level of white noise to phase cancel artifacts and other noise in a song. And that's a mastering thing.
Whoa. So, hold up. So, brain is breaking. So, okay, canceling. Two sound waves that are opposite each other, same wavelength but opposite. When you add them together, they cancel out. So, that's like how active noise canceling headphones work, right? They hear some sound, like some cars going by, and then they reproduce the opposite into your ear. And as your ear hears the cars and that opposite sound, it cancels them out. You don't hear anything.
Yeah,
right?
I suspect. Oh well, yeah, and I suspect that those noise canceling headphones, they don't actually hear what's going on. They're just producing a constant low, less than audible level of white noise. Just to, I mean, that's like what dithering is. It's just like, there are other things that go into dithering and there are other uses, but, I'm not enough of a nerd to know about it. I just know that I'm not a dither savant. I'm not a ditherist.
Dither is such a fun word to say. I recommend everyone just try it.
It sounds like something you'd call your boy. It's like, what's up, dither? He's feeling dithery today.
It's the fifth house in Harry Potter. Ditherin.
Ditherin.
I froze there for a second before I said that because I was like, should I say that or not?
Yeah, no, you got it.
I probably shouldn't have.
Slytherin.
Shouldn't have. That's a word.
Ditherin was Slytherin's younger cousin. Ditherin. It wasn't quite as evil.
Age old Slytherin. Yeah, less evil.
Yeah.
More Ditherin. Okay. So let's make synths better with noise, right?
That's right. And first, we need to talk about the different kinds of noise, because that's important to know about, and it's important to be able to recognize the differences and the applications for all of them. So there's white noise. White noise is like the common thing. However, when you listen to white noise to go to sleep, you're probably not hearing white noise, because white noise in an audio setting is an equal amount of every frequency across the frequency spectrum. So it's like, you know, 10K is as loud as 10 hertz, and everything in between is the same.
Okay.
And it sucks.
Wait.
It is not pleasant.
Wouldn't we – so it's even volume, but is it even volume to – you know, the human ear hears different frequencies better than others. For example, we hear high things a little bit better than super low things.
Yeah.
So is it – is it an even volume and then like we just hear things different, or is it like matched to the human ear? Is there any of that going on?
No, there's no matching. And that's like you're touching on exactly why white noise sucks, is because, yeah, the human ear can hear high frequencies louder. And so when you have an even distribution of noise across the frequency spectrum, the ear hears the high stuff way more.
Oh, so it's like harsh or something.
Super harsh. I mean, I've got some white noise pulled up. Like, let's just play it. Let's just
blast our ears and just hear something terrible.
All right, let's hear something really grating. Yeah, warning. Warning, trigger warning to all your eardrums. Ugh. Yuck.
Yep.
That's it. That's not actually perfect white noise. I did what I could. I have a bunch of, like, noise audio samples in my, like, little white noise folder. And none of them are actually white noise. Most of them are, like, either brown or pink or other colors of noise, but we'll get to
that. So how do you define a color, then, when it comes to...
You define it by how they're distributed across the frequency spectrum.
Oh, neat.
We'll talk about it. So here's white noise. This is the, like, even distribution. It's horrible and it sucks.
Okay.
And there are uses for it in, like, radio, I guess, and, like, commercial music and... obviously dithering and, you know, white, like, noise is very important when you're doing, like, telecommunications, I guess.
Oh, interesting.
I guess. For music, though, not so much. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take those high frequencies down and make something a little bit better, a little bit more pleasant. So what I'm going to do is so if we have a flat response across the frequency spectrum, I'm going to make it more of a slope, of a gentle slope.
So we're cutting lows? Cutting highs.
Cutting highs.
Cutting highs.
We're cutting highs.
Low pass.
Dude.
Nailed it.
You nailed it.
I never get those.
Low pass, high cut.
Same, okay. But different. But the same.
I'm going to try it. I'm going to try to shape this with an EQ.
Oh, so you're just going to EQ that white noise to...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're going to do it the guy way. Yeah.
Huh, that sounds a little like a recording better. Of the ocean or something.
Yeah, this is pink noise. Pink noise is sort of like a gentle slope down to where you're not hearing as much of the high frequencies, and it's more like attenuated to the human ear.
That's actually, it's kind of nice. It's more soothing.
Mm-hmm. And it's usually when you pull up, like, white noise to go to sleep to on YouTube. That's usually pink noise.
It's actually pink noise.
Or brown noise. Harsh.
Or brown noise. So what's brown noise then?
Brown noise is just even more, baby. Even more.
You cut out even more highs and have
even
more lows.
Even more highs. That's really... It's pretty brown.
That sounds even more like a recording of the ocean or something. I mean, there's no ebb and flow like a wave that you might hear, but, you know, sometimes when you get that wave and wind sound.
If there were more low frequency response in the signal, it'd be like the highway. It'd be like, one little rumble.
Oh, right.
I think that's kind of why noise canceling headphones like work on airplanes really well, because there's constant
rumble.
Like, cancels that out, baby.
Interesting. That's so cool.
I love noise. Noise is, I just love it so much.
So I know we're going to add it to a synth, but there's this other concept I'm thinking of that I think we've touched on before. Where, like, let's say you're making a beat or something and it's like hyper produced. Every sound is like a sample. It sounds like really crisp and good. Sometimes the whole thing just feels a little disjointed. And sometimes people add just like either noise or, like, you know, I've taken a salt lamp and just kind of gently scratched it and then just like looped that. So there's just this kind of like almost like a record effect, or like a vinyl records have a little bit of poke and just little sounds in there. And it kind of makes the whole thing come together. It's, of course, it's really quiet. It's nothing aggressive, but.
Yeah.
Is that a use case for noise? Do people use noise like that?
Yeah, and it's usually plugin specific. So, like, here, let me pull up a little, like, vinyl sim thing. I have a vinyl, like, intro, like a vinyl sim where you can turn up the Where did I put it? It's somewhere. Oh, Isotope Vinyl. There it is. So it has a couple different settings. And you can just put this on any signal. It's like an effect. And it'll, like, do all sorts of stuff. It'll warp it. But just itself, you can turn up the dust knob.
Ooh.
Which is really fun.
Otherwise, you have to go out and dust your own vinyls, and that's, like, such a hassle.
Yeah, and you have to, like, scratch it all and, you know, make the vinyl skip itself. And
yeah.
But yeah, like... The certain plugins will sort of like add little artifacts of noise, which isn't exactly what we're doing with a synth.
Oh, okay.
We could though. There are patches that definitely like, you know, synths that are set up to, if you turn up the noise knob and then sort of like throw it through a random envelope. So if you like have a random section of your synthesizer and it'll generate an envelope that just sort of like once in a while. It goes turns on randomly, then you can feed that to the noise generator and then just have the, you know, like little dust particles in your synth.
That's like how, and that's the kind of thing that makes it feel like everything we're adding, I feel like post the oscillator, really is just how do we make this sound more alive, more alive, more alive, make it more of character, make it more of an instrument, right? And like the dust is like, you know, it's the whipping cream on top, you know. we've done a lot of other things that really carry it, and yeah, just keep adding.
Oh yeah. And the thing that's cool about noise and synths is that really a lot of synthesis is like, okay, we start with a pure wave, and the way that pure waves go, there's one fundamental frequency and then the whole thing sort of goes down, you know. And then the, you know, each subsequent harmonic is less loud. So like the frequency response just goes down. And so then a lot of the steps in our journey are like, okay, how do we like put more frequencies up in there that are cool? You know, like how do we just like
just like, that's sort of what saturation does, but saturation needs something to work with, right?
Yeah.
So we're
yeah,
just
exactly.
Like adding stuff to make it. And I guess that's what instruments look like. That, like, if you looked at the frequencies of a trumpet and a clarinet both playing the same note, you'd see sort of these different shapes of waves at different frequencies. And that's the character, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. One, because when we're talking about synths and we're talking about adding harmonic content, the noise generator is adding more harmonic content that isn't contingent upon the original oscillator, usually.
Oh, right.
And that's
on its own. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of independent. And then you can start to shape that noise in creative ways too.
Oh, so it's like a whole nother sound source, right?
It's a whole nother sound source. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Usually. And each synth, I mean, this will vary super widely from synth to synth. For example, Massive, I mean, it's Massive, you know, the whole point is for it to be as complicated as possible. But I mean, we have this little noise section here.
Oh yeah, in the bottom left.
And it says white right here.
Oh.
And if I turn off everything and just play something. Hello. Oh, I have to turn it up. I mean, it's going through a bunch of chorus and reverb and a bunch of filters too. So let's actually turn those off. Okay.
Turning things
and
off.
Just for fun, we'll put a little EQ response so we can see the frequency. Oh yeah, that's white noise, baby.
Pretty flat all the way.
That
across.
Is flat. Oh my god. Let's see what else they have. They have bright noise. Okay.
So that kind of
okay,
cuts the
for
middle
sure.
out.
Yeah, cuts the middle out. That's useful. Yep. They have brown noise. Ah, ocean.
All the low stuff. Lovely.
Yeah, yummy. I should have used this to explain everything. They have tape hiss. Okay, that's sort of like white noise, but with a little dip in 2K.
Yeah, a little dip on the higher end.
Amp noise? Oh, sick. They have amp noise. That's sweet.
Whoa, that's helpful if you're like simulating a guitar. Like if you make a nice plucky synth and then put it through an amp. Like
yeah.
And I guess you can simulate any noise you want. You just record something that you like, look at the EQ response. And that, and then you can kind of make that, right?
You know, it'd be a really creative way of using that amp noise is you could reverse the, you could reverse send the gate to it. So instead of telling it whenever, so usually a gate works like whenever we see a note, we play something, or we make the oscillator go.
Yeah.
You could reverse it and say, whenever there isn't a note coming, play that amp sound. So that it feels like, you know, you're playing, when you play guitar, that happens. Like when there's no note happening in a guitar, usually like you get the hum.
Wait, Marty, that's also genius. That idea with gate, like to make a guitar. Yes. But you could put anything in that space.
Yeah.
And that's another way you could make your synth sound even more alive.
God, it's so sick.
Wow.
Paper. What is paper? I was not expecting that.
Sounds like paper, I suppose.
I wasn't expecting literal paper. That is so funny. Wait, what is water pipes? That's sweet.
That's a kind of a nice one, actually.
I mean, and so what I'm thinking right now is you could make an envelope, make it really quick, and sort of route it to the amp knob.
Yeah.
And just make like a little like strike sound. So let's turn these back on. Let's turn the oscillators on. Let's turn the filters back on. Let's use bright noise. So here's what I'm thinking. What if I routed an envelope to the amp and made the attack really harsh and then like super fast dip? Let's check
with
out
with the noise.
Yeah, with the noise.
So you're just kind of adding noise to your signal.
Yeah, in a really fast way. That's really weird.
That actually sounds kind of like, cool what we got right there.
It's kind of sweet.
Yeah. And it's not much, you know, it's just a single oscillator. But imagine that oscillator has a full synth sound that you've developed, and then you add that noise on. It already has a decent amount of character, and it's like, that's just a pure wave coming through, right?
Yeah, it's just kind of, yeah, it's like maybe three of the oscillators of the same kind, it looks like.
Huh.
And they're just, yeah, it's just sort of like a easy, dinky sounding synth.
Love it.
But we can shape this. I kind of want to try. I wonder why it's not doing what I want it to do. My idea would be like a really quick attack and then a really quick decay.
Hmm.
So that it's just like a tsh.
So as you turn the note on, you hear this psh.
Right.
It seemed like the attack was late. Like the note would come on and then I'd hear a little later.
I know. I'm not sure why it's doing that. Maybe we'll try another envelope. Maybe we just messed it all up. Okay. So no release.
When in doubt, start over.
We want the attack to be really quick.
Okay.
And then we want the amp. Yeah, we want to route it to the amp.
Mm-hmm.
We want a really quick decay. And then we want the level to be really low.
Yep.
Right? That would just be like a tch. We want to make it so it sounds like a mallet hitting something.
Yep. Really quick.
We route this envelope over to the amp. Same story. Well, I don't know.
Wait, make that decay even shorter, maybe. Or faster. Can you make that? Oh, that's as sharp as it goes. It should be really quick.
I know. It should be really quick.
Ah,
that would be
like
my
every
dream.
Every episode, we got to problem solve a synth a little bit because they are hard, even though their parts, we're making the parts simple in concept, but every synth is different in how it behaves.
Here's an LFO. The LFO's working good.
Beautiful.
You could really like,
oh,
you could fade
cool.
in like, you know, you could like fade in little noise samples really slowly to your pad if you wanted to.
Wow. The possibilities are really endless. Speaking of, yeah, I was going to say, are we going to work on our synth and add a little noise?
Well, that's an idea. What do we have so far?
Oh, we made this?
Yeah.
I got to shout out my boy Jack, who saw our post on TikTok and Instagram and was like, detune it and add a little noise. I think that's what you should do. And yeah, I was like, well, we detune it next episode and we're going to add noise now that you say that. It's just
spot Well, let's
on.
Do it.
Spot
let's
on.
Let's add some noise. Well, what do we do with this noise? Because, I mean, Blake, can you find the noise? Where's the noise?
Okay, looking at this synth here, there's a lot of buttons and stuff. Does anything say noise?
I see one knob that says noise.
Oh my gosh.
Right there.
Oh, it's right in the middle.
It's right in the middle. I know the best place to hide a library book is right in the middle of the library.
Exactly. Just on a table, plain sight. So that's just like a fader. Do you just have one option in this synth?
It looks like for this synth we have one option. Let's see what's going on.
Okay. Wait, stuff is happening to it.
Yeah, stuff is happening to it. It could be the filter. The filter could be post noise.
Is the ring mod on it maybe too or something? Is
yeah,
that possible?
Yeah, the ring mod could be affecting the noise oscillator too, but I don't think so.
Yeah. So we have oscillator 2. For those who can't see the screen and remember what we did to build the synth, oscillator 2 is sort of wiggling up and down automatically. Like we sent an LFO and some wiggles to it. So it's kind of like someone's just sitting there slowly wiggling it up and down and up and down and generally going up and then generally going down. And then we also have this ring mod that's kind of going up and down as well. And ring mods, we talked about them in one of our previous episodes, but they're doing some complicated stuff to the synth too. And overall, it just sounds like some warbly character that we really liked in the synth. Yeah. But somehow those are affecting the noise, I think.
Yeah, I think the noise is coming in pre-filter. That's what it looks like, or it feels like to me. Because yep. We also have internal LFOs going to the filter too.
Whoa.
Which is crazy.
Crazy.
Well, again, what should we do with this noise?
What should we? Well, we turn it back up. Let's and just play a little bit. I want to kind of like just internalize it. So this is like 75%, 80% up.
Yeah, this is a lot of noise.
It's a little much there, but I like hearing it in full volume to think about it. Do we
Me
want
too.
That to wiggle with something else, or do we want to just like put a little noise on and just have it
maybe
be a little noise?
Maybe we can compare.
Okay.
We could also have it so it starts with each note generated.
I like that, like you're doing with the filter. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I'm kind of butthurt about it. I'm like, I want it to work. You know?
You're like, if I can't do it in Massive, I'm doing it in this synth. Let's make it happen.
It's so annoying.
Actually, I like that idea a lot. It's kind of cool. It's like the instrument makes the noise as it makes sound. And then as it sort of decays, that disappears. So it seems to be a good idea.
Feels like a good idea. I mean.
Okay, so how do we do this? Do we need like another envelope for it?
Yeah, so I'm trying an envelope follower.
What that mean?
it's something real nice.
Is it like
not
a plugin that
but although
just
I
adds
think,
an envelope?
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing this correctly.
Okay.
I think the envelope follower is the reverse of what I need.
Oh.
Let's.
Can you route an envelope in a synth to two different things? Or is that brick the synth?
Sometimes.
Okay, it depends on
yeah.
the synth.
Yeah, you can use the same envelope if the envelope has two different outs.
Okay.
You know? And so,
so
they,
in this synth, do we have that or no?
It's hard to tell because everything's internal.
Yeah.
So we have envelope one, which it says VCA, so it's going to the voltage controlled amp automatically.
Got it.
We also have envelope two, which we can go anywhere. And it looks like, what do we have it going to? Yeah, we have it going to the second oscillator.
Ah.
It's like source two.
Interesting.
So it seems like the oscillators have two sources that you can choose from.
Yeah. So we need to send it to the mixer because that's where the noise button lives, right?
We do. And I'm not sure the noise...
Yeah,
I'm not sure the noise has its own routing.
Yep. So this is the thing with synths. You really just got to follow the signal somehow. You got to figure out what's going on behind the scenes. If you can't see it in some way, you have to know where things are going. It'll probably be written. It'll be indicated in some way. But we probably need something external to essentially wiggle this knob for us.
That's right. I've never played with Ableton's like envelope follower. Because it doesn't look like an envelope I've ever seen before.
Hmm.
It has like rise, fall, delay.
And delay.
I'm not sure what it
is
wants
that like
to
an envelope?
Well, it's just, it's making an envelope from my noise or from my signal. So I don't think this is what we need. Because
no,
then we could route this
after
to something and make it do something else.
Yeah.
not sure Ableton has that capability. At least not that I see. Let us know at the tuneshedpodcast@gmail.com if Ableton has that capability to just generate an envelope from MIDI in.
Yeah.
That would be sick.
Well, wait. Crazy idea. Could you just open another synth, have no oscillator on, and use its envelope and that magic Ableton mapping thing to bring it over to this synth?
Ooh.
Or is that too complicated to tackle? I have no idea if that would work.
I want to try it.
All right, dang. We have to.
Oh, dang it. Now you got me going on a crazy goose chase. Okay, easy.
I know some of this isn't like the most juicy like podcast material, but I feel like it's important to like problem solve these things because like I don't know how to do this on my own, honestly. It's good to have you here.
Okay, so now we have envelope follower. Oh, fuck yeah. Okay, cool. So now we want to map this to the noise of Tyrell. Okay, so we go into Tyrell. We configure noise. So now it's a mappable parameter. Mappable parameter.
So when we wiggle the noise, then the envelope follower wiggles the noise.
We map it to this.
It's working.
Look, it's working. Oh! Then we mute this.
I feel like Anakin in Star Wars 1.
It's working! Okay. So, well, we have to... Oh my gosh. Okay, so it's not powerful enough. Let's make it more powerful. Gain, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, yep.
You're a genius! Dude! Okay, it's too much gain.
It's too much, but like that's cool.
But that's cool though. What the hecky? Okay, noise. We'll make this noise envelope. We'll color it gray. And we'll delete the gain a little bit.
We're problem solving this. This is amazing.
So it's. It's a little bit too much, and
we extend the tail end just a little and see how that sounds.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if it'll be good, but
go into massive and we.
Yeah, I hear that noise in there now instead of just being that oscillator.
Yeah. It's just a little like at the beginning. Wait, okay, should I extend it a little more?
Honestly, I don't know. Maybe we should go... I always am like, let's just make it all gentle.
That's interesting.
Is that a little much?
That's a little much when you press a lot of notes. That's the problem.
Yeah, and with pads, you're pressing a lot of notes. Let's be real.
So, would it make sense then, since this is an envelope follower, to compress the signal?
Wait, what?
So if I put a compressor, because this is generating an oscillator, the compressor will make it so it can't go above a certain volume.
Okay. Oh, that's gentle.
That is gentle.
You got to know what you're listening for to hear that noise and that signal.
Wow, dude. Oh. Okay, and then we'll make this... Oh my gosh, that's cool.
That's so cool.
Dude, what?
That's a dime.
And then it slowly kind of goes away. Holy crap. That's a really roundabout way of doing that, but that's so sick.
So what to do when all the envelopes in your mixer are full? Is this envelope follower thing? You can make an envelope as a plugin, send that through. Bada boom, bada bang. You're wiggling the noise knob with an envelope plugin on a different world. That's
actually genius. I sort of understand what envelope follower means. It's like generating an envelope from whatever came before it.
Right.
So yeah, you like. That's brilliant because you just use an oscillator, and mute it, and then it's an envelope.
Ta-da.
That's so funny. I mean, that's kind of what an envelope is anyway.
Yeah, it is kind of a backwards way to do it, but
I love it. Well,
wow. I'm
we.
so happy with where this pad has come across like these whatever five episodes. I can't remember how many we've done on since now. Since our
So
deep.
many.
But it's like we just built this thing from knowing nothing and oh, it's just beautiful.
It is beautiful. I really like it. I'm probably gonna save this.
Oh, definitely.
Like, I mean, that's all I have. Should I just play us out?
Yeah, actually, before that, I want to do my plug. I always forget to do my plug, but I want to say that we're trying to upgrade the podcast. I got a new mic, but we're trying to get merch out there, trying to get better gear, make it a better experience for everybody. So if you want to support us, we got a listener support link in our show notes. Would really appreciate it. But yeah, Marty, just play us out with that beautiful synth. Let's just enjoy it. And yeah,
The
good times.
ocean.
Much love, everybody.
Baby, just big old chords.
Big old chords.
Big old
Those are
chords.
juicy chords, my guy.
They're little chords that take a lot of fingers.
Yeah, you gotta use all your fingers to make those chords juicy.
They sound great, but they look terrible on my fingers. Look, they look like this.